From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, it's our privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues his studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns turns to the subject of the full force of the Ten Commandments. The scripture reference is verses 17 through 48 of Matthew chapter 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Men always seek to evade what the Bible teaches about them, refusing to believe that they could possibly be as bad as God's Word says they are. On Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. On the surface, these ten words are so clear that even a child can understand them. However, in Matthew chapter 5, Christ shows that these commandments go far beyond mere outward actions. They go to the heart of man, from which all actions spring. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do refers to works that are possible. There are many things which our heart findeth to do, which we shall never do. It is well it is in our heart. But if we would be eminently useful, we must not be content with forming schemes in our heart and talking of them. We must practically carry out whatsoever our hand findeth to do. One good deed is worth more than 1,000 brilliant theories. Let us not wait for large opportunities or for a different kind of work, but do just the things we find to do day by day. We have no other time in which to live. The past is gone. The future has not arrived. We never shall have any time but time present. Then do not wait until your experience has ripened into maturity before you attempt to serve God. Endeavor now to bring forth fruit. Serve God now. But be careful as to the way in which you perform what you find to do. Do it with thy might. Do it promptly. Do not fritter away your life in thinking of what you intend to do tomorrow, as if that could recompense for the idleness of today. No man ever served God by doing things tomorrow. If we honor Christ and are blessed, it is by the things which we do today. Whatever you do for Christ, throw your whole soul into it. Do not give Christ a little slurred labor, done as a matter of course now and then. But when you do serve Him, do it with heart and soul and strength. But where is the might of a Christian? It is not in himself, for he is perfect weakness. His might lieth in the Lord of hosts. Then let us seek His help. Let us proceed with prayer and faith. And when we have done what our hand findeth to do, let us wait upon the Lord for His blessing. What we do thus will be well done, and will not fail in its effect.
Thank you.
The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place." Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family and friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone toll-free to 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
There's nothing better calculated to puncture the pride of man than a clear understanding of what we call the Ten Commandments, what the Hebrew Scriptures call the Ten Words. those summary words that God has given, in which he sets forth in a very abbreviated fashion man's entire moral duty. In the Ten Commandments, God shows us himself. And in the Ten Commandments, God shows us ourselves. That's not really something that the normal person in the street, the general run of mankind, wants to hear. None of us likes to think of himself as being really just as wicked as he really is. Doesn't want to think he's as wicked as the scriptures would make him out to be. There is something in every one of us that makes even the most self-confessed sinner want to find some trace of goodness in himself. We listen to the law of God, and even while we acknowledge that we don't quite measure up to its standards, we try to evade its full force. That's what the Pharisees did. They had so restricted the meaning and application of the law of God that they could comfortably persuade themselves that they were keepers of the law of God. They even boasted of their obedience to the law of God. And indeed, they appealed to that law as the ground of their justification, and could see no reason why a holy God would not receive them for all eternity because they were such good keepers of his law. But the Lord Jesus Christ would not allow them the comfort of such a delusion. And thus, in this passage of Scripture, he brings the Ten Commandments into very sharp focus in order to make every one of them and every one of us feel the full force of the message of these Ten Commandments. That's exactly what I want us to do tonight. I want us to take a few minutes to follow the teaching of the Savior here, because as I understand Matthew 5 and its exposition of the law of God, I think that it's telling very, very clearly that a true understanding of the full force of the Ten Commandments will do two things. It will first save us from the damning delusion of self-righteousness. And second, it will confirm us in the faith of the gospel of Christ's imputed righteousness. So a very true understanding of the full force of the Ten Commandments is a vital study as we proceed to think upon the law of God. Tonight then, the subject is very simple, and yet, in another way, it is very profound. The full force. And I want you to underline those words. It is my prayer as we come to this message tonight that God will take us beyond the superficial, that God will get under your skin and under my skin. Superficial religion is the curse of America tonight. Superficial religion is damning its millions across this country and across the world tonight. It is my heart prayer that God will get to the depths of our being to show us the depths of his truth, bring us to see the full force of his commandments. Now, as a preliminary, I want to do a little bit of reminding. Those of you who have good memories will remember that all way fairly early in this series of messages in the law of God, we spent an evening considering what is normally called the spirituality of the law. And I need to remind you of that as we proceed before we get to the heart of the message tonight. Can I say, as you read Matthew 5, clearly there is a surface meaning in the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments there is a simplicity that nobody can misunderstand. The language is plain, it is down to earth. God has not cloaked these fundamental commandments in the language of philosophy or difficult theology. God has set them forth in such a way that we may teach them to little children, and little children can grasp the surface meaning of the Ten Commandments. The first commandment teaches clearly that there is only one God. There is only one God. And God demands that you should worship Him. The first commandment absolutely undermines the theory that is so prevalent today, that you worship the God with whom you feel comfortable, that you manufacture a God after your own imagining. No, no, there is but one God, the living and the true God. And He commands you to worship Him. The second commandment makes it clear that He commands you to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That He commands you to worship Him not according to your imagination, not according to your feeling, but according to the revelation that He has given in His Word. He commands that there will be no physical representations of Himself in worship. That's the second commandment. No physical representations of your God are allowable. You worship God spiritually and scripturally. That's the commandment. The third commandment has to do with the holy name of God. And in that commandment, the Lord condemns as guilty all who use His name profanely. All who use His name in any way other than in genuine heart worship of the Lord. In the fourth commandment, He tells us He has given to us a weekly Sabbath that we must observe. In the fifth commandment, He tells us that children should honor their parents. The sixth tells us that murder is a crime against God. And according to the seventh, so is adultery. And according to the eighth commandment, so is theft. The ninth commandment tells us that we are each to speak truth with his neighbor. While the last commandment, which in many ways, if you invert the order, is the basis of all our trouble in the world, the breach of it, that is, we are to remain free from covetousness. We are to have no envy in our heart. I think you could well see that when a man breaks the tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet, it is that that leads to the breach of every other commandment. Now, this is the law of God. It's simple, it's plain. As I say, it's so understandable that even a child can grasp it. This is the surface message. And this surface message is wide-ranging and it's heart-searching. It covers our duty to God. The first four commandments deal with our duty to God. The next six commandments deal with our duty to man. Not that actually you can divorce them like that, because you can't do your duty to man without doing your duty to God. You can't be true in your duty to God without it spilling over into your relationships with man. But for ease of understanding, the first four commandments deal with our duty to God, His worship, His honor, and His day. The next commandments deal with our duty to man, His person, His station in life, His safety, His property, and His reputation. All these are in the very clear, simple meaning of the Ten Commandments. So there's a surface meaning. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. But the meaning goes a lot deeper than that, because there's clearly a spiritual meaning. Did you notice, as we read tonight in Matthew 5, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said." Then he would quote one of the laws. "But I say unto you." Now, it's not that the Lord Jesus was changing the law of Moses. I remember speaking to a Mormon many years ago, and he said, "Well, you would accept, wouldn't you, that in Matthew 5, Jesus was giving a higher standard than the Old Testament standard of morality. That he took that standard and then he raised it up for New Testament believers." Of course, that's nonsense. That's not what he was doing. What the Lord Jesus was doing was taking the law of Moses, setting it before the people, then throwing away the Pharisaical interpretation of the law and saying, "This is what Moses' law really means. This is the true scope of the law." The psalmist, you will remember, once said of the Lord, "Thy commandment is exceeding broad." And in Matthew 5, the Lord Jesus shows us just how broad. You can read here and discover that every commandment has a positive and a negative part to it. When the commandment sets forth a precept, then it implies a prohibition. When it sets forth a prohibition, it implies a precept. When you look at what Jesus said, it's very clear that each sin prohibited and every virtue commanded not only has the surface meaning, but it also includes all actions of the same kind and nature, together with all the means that lead us to those actions.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.